Okay, let's get ready for a morning of worship. We have a lot of things we would like to get done today. And let's begin with a word of prayer. And you can be opening your hymnal to my favorite hymn to start the season is One Day, because it tells the whole story as far as I'm concerned. And it's just a beautiful hymn. So we will sing One Day, all five verses, but first of all, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to represent Jesus Christ in a tumultuous time in this nation's history. What a joy it is, Heavenly Father, to witness for Christ when people do not want to see it witnessed. Father, we thank you for the challenge that you put before us, warning us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but we are in a struggle. And Father, I pray that our study this morning will further equip us for the battle that lies ahead. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for this humble assembly. In Christ's name, amen. So let's stand and sing One Day, all five verses. Now, there's going to be an introduction on the piano, and then you'll be able to recognize when it goes into the actual verse one. So,
heaven was filled with his praises. When David's sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth and the gift of a virgin dwelt among men. My example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, really forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep him. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, really forever. One day he's coming, glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. saved me. Mary, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he told me, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's for me, a glorious day.
You didn't know I could. Y'all didn't know I could play. See? I keep some things a secret. Yesterday, December the 7th, as most of you remember, was the memorial to Pearl Harbor. In one part of a day, 2,390 military personnel died by the attack at Pearl Harbor. 1,177 were on the USS Arizona. If you've ever been to Pearl Harbor, you know Arizona. The oil still comes up above the surface, and a multitude of military personnel are still, their bodies are still in the USS Arizona in that death. That was a memorable day in American history. And we retaliated in kind and in splendor. And we've had a few presidents who do not like America and diminished our military. I'm very thankful our current president has reestablished the strength position of a military and is still doing so. I would like you to stand a moment while Jeff plays taps and just be in prayer just for the military personnel of all the branches of service. Let's stand. Thank you very much, Jeff. Okay, let's talk. I've Judith and I've been gone for a while, so we have any prayer requests that I'm not aware of. Do we have
requests for anyone? Yes, Gigi.
Trey Payne is running for Congress. He's a national figure, and the media is chopping this kid apart, literally. Wealthy guy. A guy I met last night and came looking for a job. Down and out, ex-policeman, retired. And he's got really losing everything. So he's got up till Wednesday to get a job and get some money together.
Say his name loudly.
I don't know his name. I met him last night briefly. Okay. But he's looking for prayers. They're going to take away his house and his car on Wednesday. So he needs prayers. Thank you.
When you get his name, let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you for your prayers for my dad. He finally got out of the hospital after 12 days.
Good.
And he's doing better. His swelling and pain is kind of going away. It was just really bad side effects to the treatment that he had gotten. Mm. So.
Are there going to be prolonged side effects?
We don't know because, you know, last time he didn't have any side effects with this particular treatment. I think it's where the tumors are in the liver that's caused it more problems. And so it's up higher. And so the doctor really didn't know. But he's, you know, it's just what he's got to deal with. He's fighting cancer. You know, he's been lucky so far.
How's your brother doing?
He's doing a little bit better. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Chris, how's your dad doing?
Dad's doing good. He's in physical therapy on a regular basis. So he's good. Getting a little bit stronger. But Mom and Dad are doing really well. I talked to them last weekend. And
very good.
They're hanging in there.
They've been in my prayers.
Thank
very
you.
Good. Yes.
I just have two announcements. First, I just ask a favor that no one try to pick up things in the nativity scene or fool with it. It's lightly taped and things may fall very easily. So I would appreciate it if no one really tried to pick up things. So we're just asking the Lord keep those tapes stuck so that fabric doesn't come loose up there. But the second one, it's that dreaded time again. It's sign up sheet time for cleaning and for donuts. So the new assignment sheet is on the board back there. So appreciate it. I know it's not anything anyone enjoys, but we do have to clean and we do need help. So appreciate anyone who's willing to sign up.
I enjoy getting the donuts I pick. please. People, we don't have very much to do with this place as our church. So having a month for cleaning, I don't think is asking too much. If I did, I'd say so. But we have very little that we have to do for the maintenance of this property. So please bear that in mind. Yes?
If I may share with you guys that we are getting wonderful feedback from the college students who are receiving the packages that we put together. So thank you again for your donations in that respect.
How did you go last week?
It went very well. We knocked them out very quickly. So I think we're getting good at this. And the again, they're posting things amongst in our Liberty group social media. So the others are being encouraged by the fact that they're seeing them as well. So love that. Also, what was my other? Oh,
yes.
Hang on.
She's not that old.
Yes, I am. That's why it's good to have younger cousins to remember. ornaments. If you would like to have an ornament, we are taking custom orders for ornaments this year rather than mass producing them. So please let me know today so that we can put them together this week at Youth Group. Thank you.
Put my name down.
I already have your name down.
Yes.
Next Saturday, we're going to take the youth over to the Garden Gate Apartments. We've been doing
this Saturday,
our eighth year we've done this, Christmas and Easter, and God is answering that prayer that they have so much turnover there between Larry and I always trying to, we're talking to a new person every time we go.
Wow.
And there's so many places that other people have tried to get into that they don't let you come talk about the real reason for Christmas, and Garden Gate continues to do that, and it's always someone new we're talking to, so he keeps that door open for us, and you guys would be in prayer for the children and the families. We always get a lot of parents that come and families that stick around and want to hear. And just prayer for our youth that are able to come and share the truth of
okay,
the
people. So. A prayer a day for the next 6 days is not asking that much. Pick different things. You can pray that God will motivate and start preparing the children who will come down. Some that don't even know that they're going to come down, come down. You can start praying for the parents, one to allow their children and some to come. Three, you can start praying for the teacher, the ones who will be speaking and in participating with them. Four, you can pray for the weather. So there's just so many different things you can pray in regard to next Saturday. So a prayer starting today and going through Saturday morning is not asking that much. Just 30 seconds, 40 seconds of your time, up to 4 or 5 minutes, is not asking that much for the next 6 days. Please be in prayer. It's a powerful time for some unbeliever that may hear the gospel for the first time. So please be in prayer. Instead of criticizing, pray for these young people and their parents who will come. That things will be happening in their life. They'll want to come down. Okay? Anything else that we should be in prayer about? Okay. All right. Yes?
A couple things for me. One, prayer of Thanksgiving. Thank you, Herman, and everyone here for praying for my in-laws as they were on this extended trip across the country. They made it home safely the day before yesterday. No horrible events. Everything went smoothly. So thank you so much. Number two, thanks for your prayers for my wife as well, as she's been doing all this traveling, and she made it home safely Friday night late, and so I thank you for that. She's been home for 2 days. She leaves again tomorrow. I'm asking for prayers again for safe travel. She goes to London again for another week, and she'll be back home, I don't know, Friday night or Saturday night, I'm not sure. But thank you, and I ask again for the same thing. Thank you.
And please be in prayer for Jeff. Next week he'll go in for endoscopy.
Oh yeah, a couple of really fun events on Monday morning early. Colonoscopy and an endoscopy.
Okay. So let's be in prayer.
Yes.
Please be in prayer.
Yeah.
And we pray to you that you and Narcus come back from your trip.
Yes.
And we were praying for you. Glad you're
back.
You. So that's good. And we prayed for y'all. Well, y'all were gone too. Right? Didn't we, Pat?
Well, Mackenzie's leaving again. Yeah, no, Mackenzie's traveling. You need to pray for all of our college students, really, as they start to travel back home. And they're tired, and they've been taking tests, and so please pray for their endurance and their protection as they're driving home. Mackenzie's coming back home Tuesday afternoon, and then flying out Wednesday at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then back again. So.
Who is doing this?
Mackenzie.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it a bowl game?
No, for Blake.
No, well. Blake's being acknowledged in the ESPN.
Very good.
Nash, whatever, football.
Yeah. Award ceremony.
A kicker.
Wow.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
No, we didn't.
That's going to be a prayer. Same
yeah.
Good. Okay, any other prayer requests? Martha, how's your friend?
Yeah.
I got to spend time with her yesterday. She is not responding to the current medication, so they are on Monday. She's going to go back in to see if there's anything else that she could respond to.
So we need to be in prayer for the doctor's wisdom on what her body needs. Okay, be in prayer. Mm-hmm. And your mother?
She is doing overall pretty good, but she struggles with her teeth. So going back in time, remember they didn't know to add fluoride to the water back when she was young? So they're actually going to, they decided her bridges are crumbling, so they're going to take all her teeth and they fitted her out with dentures. And she has that on the 18th.
Okay. Very good. Any other prayer requests at this time? The word of God.
So every man purposeth his soul to give, so let him give her grudgingly. No necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. As we close out the year, and with things that we know about taxes and all, I'd appreciate you consider Spring Valley Bible Church. Goes to the young people, missionaries, internet, so many things that even a small, humble assembly, we still have some major expenses coming up, and 2020 youth camp coming in, and so we got a lot of things to be done, so I just ask you to bear that in mind as we close out the year in regard. Yes?
Could we get a financial statement like we've had 1 year on the back board, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Reminder that there's no Bible study Wednesday night because you'll be at conference.
No, Wednesday night. I'll
be going to the pre-tribulation conference. Starts Wednesday morning. Usually it starts on Monday, but this year they're going to start Wednesday morning and go to a Friday. And it's going to be very good. They're doing with the Old Testament passages that deal with the coming of the Messiah. And I've been reading some of the a book that puts together a lot of things we'll be studying, and it's going to be really, really interesting. In fact, look in your Bibles. Well, we haven't taken off. Well, look in your Bibles in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 23. No, it's here. It's here. I love that. That's one thing I do love about it, is that it's right here. Let me see here. Okay, just want to show you one of the types of things we're going to be looking at next week. If you look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel 23. Now, these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares. The man who was raised on high declares. The anointed of God of Jacob. And the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, this is where the beauty of knowing Hebrew comes in. If you work on the correct vowels and signs of this, this is really what verse 1 says. Now, these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares concerning the David, the son of Jesse, concerning the man who was raised on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet sound of all the psalms of Israel. It is not about David. Verse 1 is not about David. It is about the Messiah. And I'm looking forward to other passages where they point out what is really going on in the Hebrew. But that gives you just an idea of some of the fun we're going to be having next week. Yes? Yes.
Well, I talked to John yesterday.
Bill and Pat, well, Bill. Pat is doing so poorly, she cannot even endure a trip from Mexico up to Tucson. But Bill is at John's church this morning, and it's just a preacher thing. We like to kid each other. But, well, are you ready for Sunday? And he'll go, no. And he'll say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Kids got it all ready. And so he told me yesterday, well, I'm ready for next Sunday. And I'm ready for the Sunday after we get back. I said, wow, how'd you figure that? He said, well, Bill's speaking. So Bill Risley will be at Tucson Bible Church today. And he said that things, but to answer your question, things are better as far as the flooding and all are concerned, but not as better as far as Pat's concerned. And I said, do you think Pat is going to make it through 2020? And he rambled and rambled and rambled, and I said, did you answer my question? He said, oh, you caught that I didn't answer it, huh? I said, yeah, I'm getting wise in my old age. I can figure these things out. And it comes down to not really. But so just be a prayer for Bill and Pat. Just to let you know her heart, Pat wants to be buried in Mexico. That's been our ministry. That's been our service. That's been our life. And she wants to be buried where she feels that the Lord has used her in the productive part of her life spiritually. So bear that in mind. All right, yes.
Thinking, does everyone know that Pat is a descendant of Spurgeon? I think it was her great-grandfather.
Yeah, she's a, I don't know if I'm a descendant, she's a descendant of Spurgeon.
Great preacher, and Charles Spurgeon, and so she has a heritage behind her. Yes?
I almost forgot this prayer request. We have some close friends of mine and Rick. They're the Elizardo family. They lost their son. He was 33, but last week his son passed away. Just put them on, just for comfort.
Give us the name again?
Elizardo family.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so young.
Do a prayer.
All right, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your use of Spring Valley Bible Church. And Father, we just pray you continue to give us opportunities. Open up some new ones in 2020. We thank you It's our privilege, Heavenly Father, to jointly come together and serve for the glorification of Christ, telling others of Christ on the internet, meeting with the young people, meeting the apartments, just every way that we can, publications, missionaries, every way that you give us an opportunity, Father. So therefore we pray you receive the offerings we're about to give. You will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel of our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Servant in our hymnal 81, get into the season, and we sang one day where we laid out the whole plan, and now we take up the first part of the plan, the coming of Jesus Christ into the human race, God, man. Page 81, O come, all ye faithful. Stand and sing again.
I'll give a few bars laid in, and
prayer.
Yeah.
We prayed for music and Jeff stepped up and the Holy Spirit just moved with him, and I'm just so thankful, Jeff. Just so thankful. It adds so much to our service.
I enjoy it. Thank you.
trumpet's a lot smaller than a grand piano. So.
You can't put a nativity on it.
Yeah.
Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. We're going to enter the study of predestination. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, you've told us through your word so many things about us. Wonder why you've told us. For our own security, our own hope. Our Heavenly Father, did you tell us these things for encouragement in the battle, the struggle that we have in our Christian life? Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if you look at your sheet, anybody not have the handout titled Predestination? Anyone not have a copy? All right. Look at the first few things here. First of all, we studied our position in Christ. People, that is extremely important. That's why we can pray. We are sinners. Totally not qualified in any way to pray to the sovereign, omnipotent God. But by virtue of being put into Christ, we have the privilege of coming to Him in prayer. Then we studied being chosen by God, the doctrine of election. Now we come to the confusing doctrine of predestination. Why are all these things in here? Well, oh, you've taken it off. Can you put it back up for a moment? Yeah. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you don't know who that is, that'd be a good Christmas present to give yourself or someone, is Bonhoeffer's book. But he says, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. It's very easy today just to shut up. Shut up about homosexuality. Shut up about immorality. Shut up about all the horrible things. I don't want to be called a hate person. Because I speak the truth of the Word of God, they're going to call me a hate person. If I talk about Jesus Christ, you don't believe in Him, you're going to go to hell. I'm a hate person. So I'll just shut up. I think Bonhoeffer's statement is so true today. Not to speak is to speak. I believe, personally, one of the reasons we're where we are in America today, it's because for the last 150 years, Christians have remained somewhat silent. And the things just kept happening, and we kept silent. We let them change our constitutional outlook. We let them change our view about God. We let them take away praying in school. We just remained silent. We did not act. I don't blame Hollywood. I don't blame D.C. I blame the pulpit. I blame pulpits in America for where we are in America today. Remain silent when we should have been shouting. We should have let it be known where we stand on issues. Are you going to be a coward? Or are you going to take the chance, the courage, to say these things? People, there's so much more we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 1. And all these things do is tell you about yourself. Who and what you are in Christ. What God has made of you. What God has done of you. Why spend all this time in Ephesians 1 and 2 talking about who and what we are? I think what Bonhoeffer said is part of the reason, so that we will not remain silent, so that we will act and speak the truth that we know. And then it's going to come together in Ephesians. I know you got your sheet, but I'll just read it to you. In Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're in chapter 1. All these great things about what we are. Our position in Christ. Chosen of God. Predestined by God. On and on and on. Other things coming up. Why? Look at chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle, we're in a struggle. All those wonderful things said about us to let you know you're in a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why we got to know who we are. You're a soldier. You're in the Air Force. You're in the Navy. You're in the Army. You're in the Marines. Act it. Stand firm. Ready to fight. Okay? You're in Christ. You've been set aside by God. You've been chosen by God. Predestined by God. All these wonderful, given the things we're going to be studying that you've been given. Why? So that you can enter the struggle. So that you'll be motivated to put on the full armor and do your service. Not to your country, but to your Savior friend, Jesus Christ. That's why. Now let's take a look at our study. We are in the longest sentence of the Bible, verses 3 through 14. We have noted God's relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the Father of His Son, Jesus Christ. Here we noted the deity of Jesus Christ. We are now looking at God's relationship with believers. First, God's relationship with His Son. Now He's going to look at His relationship with believers. Verse 3, blessed be the God, even Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love He predestined. Now, let's take a look at what we've got in verse 4. Just as, this goes along, just as He has blessed us in grace, so now He does something else. So we have just as. Just like He blessed us there, He blesses us again. He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Doctrine of election that we saw last week. Summarizing, no one is elected outside of Christ. We are elected in Christ. Once you make your volitional decision. Everyone has a free will. That's a grace gift of God to every human being. You have free will. You make a decision. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe in Him. Faith in Jesus Christ. At that point, the Holy Spirit moves you into Christ, baptizes you into Christ. At that point, you share the election of Jesus Christ. Not outside of Christ. In Christ, you share the election. Now, why? That, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that, in order that, we, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, that's a very special we, every believer in Jesus Christ, would be. Present active infinitive indicating this is God's purpose. To forever be this. Holy. Holy. Man, I don't always feel holy, and I know I don't always look holy. I know I don't always act holy. In fact, I stinketh a lot. What does this mean? Holy. That we forever keep on being holy. Holy. We've got to spend some time on that. Point one, this Greek word occurs 6 times in the book of Ephesians. 1:4, that we would be holy. 1:13, reference to the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is the same word used to describe what God makes us to be for all eternity. Holy Spirit, you're holy. Same word. 2:21, holy temple. 3:5, holy apostles. 4:30, Holy Spirit. And then 5:27, His bride, the church, you and me, would be holy and blameless. Think about that. With all the sins we will commit, even as Christians, when we stand before Him, we will be blameless. Blameless. Holy before God because of Christ. All right, let's stop right there. Let's go to point two. Greek definition. Holy, set apart. What does holy mean? Means set apart, sanctified, consecrated, saint. Sometimes this word is translated saint. Perfect, perfect. See, my wife still doesn't believe I'm perfect. But I try to tell her I am. She just hadn't bought it yet. God says I'm perfect. See? So, perfect. Pure. Upright. Worthy of God. Let's stop right here. Think about this for a moment. This is what you are right now, and you will always be this. No matter how carnal you may live here in the flesh, no matter how you may fail or fall into some sin or sin pattern, you cannot lose being holy. Every homosexual is, if he's a Christian, holy. Every lesbian, if she's a Christian, is holy. Pure before God. See? Doesn't matter how we live our life on earth. Before God, you are holy. Pure. You cannot lose being holy in Christ. Please remember it. Never forget it. When you're in stress and anxiety, depressed, sit down, read this over and over. That's why, people, I can't tell you how thankful I am to Kent for putting this together. James started this, and I'm just so thankful, Kent said, I'll do it. Because this takes you something now you can take, put in a box somewhere, and some day when you're depressed, stressed out, sick, worried about yourself, upset with yourself, read this over and over. Read these passages. Go into prayer and believe what you read from the Word of God. Believe who and what you are before God. You are holy, pure, set apart from the world to God. You may look at yourself today in your sins or sin pattern and think you're unworthy. People, you are unworthy when God makes you, you are unworthy when God made you pure, when God made you holy. That's when you and I were really unworthy as unbelievers. You did nothing to earn it. You didn't take a bath. You didn't do anything. You didn't do any kind of work. You didn't do any kind of confession, repenting, or anything. You just believed. And that moment, you were transformed from a sinful, unholy being to a new spiritual creation. See? You did nothing for it. Go over the faithfulness of God. Not your faithfulness, God's faithfulness. See, that's what this depends on. It doesn't depend on my faithfulness. Because I know I'll fail. And God knows I'll fail. Depends on His faithfulness. Then, right there, in your sad condition, give our Heavenly Father thanks. Not on Thanksgiving Day, but every day in your life. Thanks that you are this. Get up. Stay in the Holy Spirit by faith and move on. Don't you dare let anyone cause you to doubt what God has done. People, our battle is a battle of faith. Faith is the battle. So, if you're in some sin pattern, you get up, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you overcome the sin pattern. You move on in your relationship with Christ. You dive into the Word of God. You allow the power of the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit change and transform you so that you are not necessarily pure, but holy in your life, in your living on earth, resembling what you are in Christ. That's the idea with that. See? So, don't let anyone talk you out of that. Our battle is a battle of faith. Faith is the battle. Faith is the cure to sad, stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. Do you believe that God has done it or not? See, this is what you have to decide whether you believe it or not. You have believed the most remarkable thing of all. That God took me, saved me for all eternity. And I hope you believe that. I hope you never doubt that. Well, if you believe that, then believe what he says about you here. That this is what you are before him. Get up off of feeling sorry for yourself. And move on in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit into the plan of God for your life. Trust God of all the things that he's already done for you. Already done! It's a shame that so many Christians today are hooked on drugs and alcohol, pornography, when all they have to do is simply trust, truly trust, all that God has already done for them in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. It's simply a matter of a battle of faith. Point three, all three members of the Godhead are holy. The same word used to describe you as holy is the same word used to describe members of the Godhead. God is holy. Passage is given. Jesus Christ is holy. Passage is given. The Holy Spirit is holy. Passage is given. And it's the same word for you. It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing. He created man in his own image. He created male and female in his own image. We fail. His love saw our need. His love met our need and sent his son so that we could come back and be in a position of holiness with him. Point four. And in the church age, all who have simply believed in Jesus as their Savior are declared in the Word of God as holy, using the same Greek word to describe members of the Godhead as holy as in our passage Ephesians 1:4. Also, Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, everyone who's believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, male or female, rich, poor, whatever, partakers of a heavenly calling. We saw this in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. People, just think of who and what God has made you and believe it and trust it. Trust him, yes.
We are holy in our spirit, not our flesh. That's what he's made.
Not in the flesh nature.
Yes.
That's why
so it's totally in our spirit.
Yes.
And our faith in God
our
makes
position.
Us holy.
Who we are in Christ, yes. Our spiritual self.
So, someone that has a pattern of sin, God does not look, he's not looking at their physical sin, but he's looking at their spirit when they believe
yes.
in
him. Who they are in Christ, not who they are on earth. Exactly right.
Okay. Yes.
Dean referred to as positionally holy.
Yes.
Well, positionally holy. We are sinners.
Yes.
Through.
Positionally
holy. Positionally because we are in Christ.
Yes.
He sees Christ and we are in him.
It's the truth of our position.
So he looks at us, he sees Christ. He's not actually seeing us.
Yeah.
He sees us in Christ.
Yes.
In Christ.
Exactly.
So when you said earlier, it does not matter how you lead your life on earth. You only mean that it doesn't matter how you lead your life. Once you believe in Christ, you are positionally holy forever.
Forever.
Not that your sin, whatever you're doing, sin nature.
Yes.
Homosexuality, you were using that example. It doesn't mean you don't need to change your way.
No, absolutely not. That's why I say when you realize this, get up if you have a sin pattern. Get into the Word, get the power of the Spirit, fight the battle. He will give you the power to overcome.
Okay.
You have to make those decisions. Sin is a...
We choose to sin. We choose to sin. That's his bottom line. We choose to be in the Holy Spirit. That's the spirituality. Yes?
Also, I forgot my train of thought.
The younger has a dream.
Okay.
You waited too long.
Well, I think the context of what you were saying and the way I know that you're speaking is the sin pattern does not matter or affect how he sees us as far as holiness in our Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And in the context of that, it doesn't affect that.
It doesn't affect her.
Okay.
From our study in Ezekiel,
goes
on Wednesday
night, God punishes, God disciplines, God deals with sin and sinful people, believer or unbelievers. He will deal with them. See? But even if he disciplines me, I'm still in his Son, pure and holy and righteous. Yes.
We are separated from God when we are sinning.
Right. Experientially.
Experientially.
On the positional justification, does that sit under righteousness or does that sit under faithfulness?
Righteousness.
Under righteousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with our faithfulness.
No, but his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Not ours.
Yeah. Okay. Point five. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is made holy or sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Hebrews 10:10. By this will we have been, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Even today, I just don't like pictures of the cross with Christ on it. He's not on the cross. I don't mind the cross, but I don't like it when I see a picture with him on the cross, because he's not on the cross. The Hebrew word translated sanctified in Hebrews 10:10 is the verb of the adjective we have been seeing over and over. We could translate this, by this will we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Instead of the word sanctified, you could put the word holy there. Or we could translate the adjective sanctified instead of holy, whichever way you want to translate it. Point six. By the way, I love questions, so raise your hand. We're here to get these things down. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are holy by God putting you in Christ, God the Holy Spirit. This is part of what we studied of your position in Christ. By being in Christ, you are holy. 1 Corinthians 1:2. The church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, made holy in Christ, in Jesus, saints, holy ones, by calling with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. This is the gospel. This is what we want the world to hear. If I'm still alive and things get so bad in America, and believe me, I think they're coming, where they will close down churches like this one, I can handle not talking about homosexuality. I can handle that. That's not salvation. It's if they tell me I can't teach the gospel, then I have to decide. I have to ask them, you decide. Do I serve man or God? See, that's the whole point. It's the gospel that is at issue for the unbeliever and for us as we live. And remember that. You're saved. You're holy. You're righteous. You're pure. Don't stay in the gutter of sin. Get up. You've got power over that now in the Holy Spirit. As it says in Unger's Dictionary, the New Testament refutes the idea of a special class of saints. Although it is true that in experience, some believers are more holy than others, yet in their position before God, all believers are sanctified, i.e. saints, by virtue of what they are in Christ, end quote. That says it. That kind of pulls together all the things y'all have been saying. Yes?
So am I sanctified and that draws me into his holiness? Or is it his righteous imputation of righteousness that draws me up into his holiness?
It's him making you righteous, putting you in his Son, that causes us to be holy. Because he is holy.
Jesus Christ is holy.
Yes.
Because when God the Father,
sure, holiness, yes.
When God the Father looks at us, he sees our faith in Jesus Christ,
yes.
And that reckons
that's
us
it.
Holy.
Let's reread what Arna said. I think that it just kind of clarifies it when I put it in. The New Testament refutes the idea of a special class of saints. Although it is true that in experience, I'm more holy than you. No. Believers are more holy than others. Yet, in their position before God, all believers are sanctified. Saints. By virtue of what they are in Christ.
So everybody's even across the board.
Even.
Period, no, okay.
No superiority.
He's angling for the Aggies.
That's why they're all. Why did she say Aggies?
He's angling for the Aggies. He's angling for the Aggies to have a higher census.
That's why we'll all be at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to find out we're not equal there. Some are going to be rewarded, others are not going to be.
Yeah. Isaiah 6:7. We have seen that we should give thanks daily that God has made us holy. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are married, do you grow tired of telling the person you're married to, I love you? I don't. Why should we grow tired of telling God, thank you, thank you, thank you, every day, every day? Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We've not qualified ourselves. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In the margin of the New American Standard, it says, saints might be translated holy ones. Point 8. This also helps the confusion on sanctification. Believers, you are sanctified before God the moment you believe in Jesus as your Christ, your Messiah, your Savior. Experientially, your life on earth is sanctified when you are in the Holy Spirit by faith. This is called experiential sanctification in contrast to positional sanctification. See? You have experiential, that's how we live. Position, that's our relationship before God. I'm going to use a very dirty base example. A person is married to this person. They get involved in infidelity. They're still positionally married to this person. They are committing infidelity, but positionally, they're still married, and therein lies the sin of it. But they're still in with Christ. As your believer, you're still with Christ. Now, point 8. This also helps the confusion. That's what we're dealing with. Okay, people, here's a question. Do you believe the Word of God? And people, that's the great issue. If you experience stress, anxiety, depression, all these things, you don't believe the Word of God. It's that simple. You do not believe the Word of God. Christmas season is getting ready to come up. You're going to be, most people, with family, friends that they've not seen, that they don't see every day. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Do your relatives, do your friends, your associates at work, what do they say behind your back? Do they say, well, they profess to be Christian. Well, they talk about their Christianity, but I know how they live. I know how they talk. I know how they deal with one another. What do people say behind your back? People, you want your mouth and your life to be consistent. You don't want your cousins, aunts and uncles, and friends saying something different behind your back. If you open your mouth that you're a Christian and you follow Christ, live it. That's where spiritual love comes in. Sacrificial for the benefit of others. That's the great issue. Does your walk equal your talk? See, that's the deal. So, in dealing with sanctification, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what it says when it says you're holy in Christ? If you do, then rest in that fact when you're heavenly laden, heavy laden with sin, with pressure, with suffering. You're heavy laden. Don't start doubting it. It's amazing how many Christians fall into sin and start doubting. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not worthy for Christ. I know I believe in Jesus Christ at church or somewhere, but man, I've just gotten so far away. God can't save me. I'm so filthy, bad, and I know I'm bad. See? Don't do that. I'm filthy, I'm dirty, but I'm in Christ. Believe the Word of God. You believe it for the greatest thing in life, salvation. Believe it in your life. And get others to believe it if they feel so bad about themselves. They're involved in some sin pattern, whatever it is. Pornography, drugs, alcohol, whatever. Let them know. But you're in Christ. You're a new creature. You're positionally in Christ. It's like you cannot deny your father and mother. You cannot deny you're in Christ. You believed in Him. It's a done deal. See? That's what we're dealing with. See? Rest your faith in who you are in Christ. In who God made you to when you believed in Jesus Christ. God does not take it away from you. Don't you take it away. God hasn't taken it away. You are holy before Him. So rest in the fact and give thanks. Alright, Ephesians 1:4. Just as He, God the Father, chose us at the point of faith in His Son for salvation, in Him, His Son Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy. Okay, summary point one. At the point of faith in Jesus Christ, God our Father made every believer to be just like His Son. Jesus Christ. You've given 34 things. They're yours. Who is always holy. Therefore, God made you forever holy. Positionally in Christ. Two, He makes every believer to be like His Son. Jesus Christ. You're just like His Son. Three, when Jesus Christ was in heaven in eternity past, He was absolute perfect. Or holy. When He walked on earth, He was absolute perfection. Or holy. When Jesus Christ returned to heaven after His resurrection as the God-man, He was absolute perfection. Or holy. In both His deity and His humanity. So there never was a time, whether as deity or humanity, that He was not perfectly holy. Now, let's take you and I. In our physical life, we may be unholy, sinful. But positionally, you are holy. Set apart to God. Always in the battle. Always in the struggle. Always in the camp. You're not out of the camp. You may take yourself out in your own mind. But even then, you're not out as far as God's concerned. It's as easy as your faith to get back in. So point four, however, there never was a time when we were perfect. We were perfect. When we were holy. And there was, is, no way we can make ourselves holy. We are forever stuck in imperfection, unholy creatures. Point five, but in His love for His Son and His grace toward us, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ made us holy. You may not look holy, act holy, smell holy, think holy, but before God, every believer, no matter how carnal they may become while on earth, we are perfectly holy before God. You cannot lose or change your sanctification. And that's so hard for many Christians to grasp. No, I got to be, keep that. No, you don't. You can't keep it. It's something you are. It's something you were born into, baptized into, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not water baptism. Point six. While being holy is our eternal status before God, saint is merely a title to show that no matter how bad you are, no matter how you fail, no matter how evil you become, no matter how good you appear, no matter how self-righteous you become, no matter how righteous you are, even in the Holy Spirit, you're a saint. You're set apart. You cannot lose your salvation. You will never stand at the great white throne judgment. Put it another way, that may help some of you. God will never lose track of you. You'll lose track of God, maybe. He will not lose track of you. He has you covered by His Son. And you are going to spend all eternity with God the Father and His Son. In fact, He will have a body just like the resurrected. You will have a body just like the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, minus the scars. It's a done deal. You cannot change it. I like to jokingly tell somebody who thinks they can lose their salvation, I got such bad news for you. I tell people who reject Jesus Christ, I don't believe all that stuff anymore. I got the saddest news in the world for you. You're going to be with Christ for all eternity. I'm sorry. You're in. You cannot change it. Now, and blameless before Him. All right. You will like this. The word "and" is the ascensive use of the conjunction "kai." We saw how it is translated in 1:3, "Blessed be the God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the conjunction "kai." Here we have the ascensive use, should be translated, "even unblemished or blameless." Even without blame. See, that's holy, even without blame. This is rather emphatic today with all that is going on in D.C., with the Democrats hunting for something upon which they can impeach the president. They don't have anything. In fact, a congressman, just said this last weekend, if we fail impeaching him this time, we will keep on impeaching. We will keep on impeaching through 2020 and afterward. We will not stop trying to impeach him. He just gave his whole discourse. The Democrats have not been taking care of our country. They've not been taking care of us. They've not been taking care of our military. They've not been taking care of our economy. They've been obsessed with getting rid of the president instead of doing their job. Now, that's why I bring all that up. And time after time, they failed to blame that is impeachable. And the same thing is going on in Israel with Netanyahu's enemies hunting to blame him. Now, what about you and me? The Greek word is made up of the primitive alpha, meaning without, plus the noun mamas, meaning spot or blemish, in a moral or sinful understanding. Question, do you have a spot or blemish of sin on you or in you? Of course, we all do. But here is the real, really wonderful issue of truth before God. Our position in Christ before God, we are like Him, and Jesus Christ is without spot or blemish, therefore we're without spot or blemish. This word "without spot or blemish" describes how every born-again believer stands before God by virtue of our being in Him. Ephesians 1:4. After the rapture, Jesus Christ will present His bride, all church-age believers, every one of them, the worst sinner you can think about, the most wonderful person you can think about that's a believer. They're all going to be presented by God as His bride, holy and blameless. Coming up in Ephesians 5:27, that He might present to Himself the church, that's you and I, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. I'm being humorous. using something we understand. A woman's been married 5 times. She marries this man. I want you to wear a white dress. To me, you're holy. To me, you're my wife. So that's what Christ does to us. You may have been a sinner down there, but you're going to wear a white dress at this formal introduction. You're going to go in as a spotless bride, clean and pure. That's going to be my bride. That's going to be you and I. So you can look at this any way you like. People were blameless before God. Also Colossians 1:22. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. Beyond reproach. That just sounds wonderful because I know I'm a sinner. I know I fail. And yet Christ is going to present me and you and every one of you beyond reproach. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Savior, that you're going to do that. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. You can do it and you're going to do it. And 3, Jesus Christ has always been without blemish. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, his spiritual death on the cross, who is through the eternal Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. People, that's why we're studying all these things that we are in God, so that we can serve while we're here on earth. And it's such a short time. It's such a short time. Even if you get as old as Jim Passmore, it's such a short time. We're not here very long. And the older Jim and I get, it's going faster and faster. What happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Where is it all gone? People, we have just a short block of time to serve him. That's why we're here, to serve him. Therefore, when we're placed, are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, we share this with him. That is, we are now without blemish in our position in Christ. Also, 1 Peter 1:19. Now, point 4. While this is the status of Christ before God, this is how we should strive to live our lives on earth. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do all things. Serve one another in love without grumbling, disputing. Verse 15. So that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent before man, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Boy, I would think he's writing about today, but he wasn't. That's what you always got to remember. We think today is so horrible. People, it's been a lot worse. It's been a lot worse in history. It's not been worse in America. It's getting worse. But not in history. Don't show your ignorance of history. See? Paul had to walk through Corinth, temple after temple, to gods and goddesses, idols. He had to do all of these things. We don't have the prejudice that he had. We're coming to it in a while. It keeps on going. But he didn't. So, crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. That's what we are. And people understand this. Don't go, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Remember, when you're in sin, you want to turn off the light. Get rid of Christians. You're the light of the world. When they want to get rid of people, when they, the enemies of Christ, want to get rid of enemies, will they want to get rid of you? Or will they just pass you by because you look like them? Bonhoeffer's words, quote, to me is so important. Silence is guilty. We're not here to remain silent. We're a light to the world. Take the good side of that, but But don't forget, people that love darkness, they don't love you. You're shedding a light on what they're doing wrong. That's what we're here to do. In 2 Thessalonians, make them feel uncomfortable. Make them feel uncomfortable. We're a light. See? That's good. That's dangerous. Some people like to shoot out the light. You ever seen a good gunfight? Shoot out the light so they can't see where you are. They'll shoot you out. See? Okay. Proverbs 2:15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent before man, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And the only way we can do this is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that you better know how to be filled with the Spirit, are empowered by the Holy Spirit, by faith, through grace. So point five, this is how Jesus Christ will present us before God the Father. Jude 24. Now to Him, Jesus Christ, who is able to keep you from stumbling, losing your salvation, and make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is both God and man in one person, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Forever. Do you believe the word of God or not? And then six, because you are going to be in Christ forever, you have a resurrected body exactly like, you will have a resurrected body exactly like His. You will be blameless. What you are while here on earth means nothing as far as that eternal status is concerned. The point is that is at the judgment seat of Christ, but not as far as your salvation. It does not depend on you being good. It does not depend on you not sinning. Being blameless simply does not depend on you. You're a saint. You cannot change that. From the moment you believed in Jesus as your Christ, you became a saint, and that will never change. That you will be holy and blameless before Him, referring to God the Father, this means in the presence of, and it refers to after the rapture. Now, in love, He predestined us to adoption. Okay, we're getting ready to go into the study of predestination. To understand predestination, biblically, there's some doctrines you've got to understand. One, you've got to understand the love of God. Two, you have to understand the sovereignty of God. There's the great kicker the Calvinists have missed. They have a wrong, inerrant, or erroneous understanding of what sovereignty means. Then you've got to understand the love of God, the sovereignty of God, and the divine decrees. When you correctly understand these three things, you will then be able to understand predestination as it is given in the Word of God. Now, love of God, sovereignty of God, the divine decrees could take the rest of the year. No, could take all of next year. We're not going to do that. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of all three of those doctrines, so that we can grasp predestination. Remember, what we're studying is who and what you are. You should be interested in this. Positioned in Christ, left for chosen in Christ, predestined in Christ. And we got some more things coming up in Ephesians about you. Remember why? So that we will not remain silent. So that we will put on the whole armor. So we'll get into the battle. See? I want in the battle. I want in that fight. See? It's like I've used this before, but it's like the little guy, and he wants to play in the game. You can break your neck. You can become paralyzed for the rest of your life. You can do a lot of harm to yourself. Break an arm, break a leg. I know that, but I want in. If you've ever played football or basketball or anything, I want in. I know there's no danger sitting here on the bench. There's no fun here either. I want in it. Why do we want in this battle, the struggle in Ephesians 6? Because of whom I am. Who and what you are in Christ. I need to be in a battle. I don't need to be sitting in the sidelines. I don't need to be sitting in the stands. I need to be out there on the field, out there on the court, on the battlefield. I want to put on this armor that equals what I am in Christ. I want to fulfill who and what I am. See, I don't want to just sit. That's why we're in the study. We'll continue here next Sunday morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all you've done with us, all you're doing with us, but mostly all you've already done. The 34 things you've already done, deal, over, can't be changed. What an awesome God you are. Therefore, Father, we pray now you'll give us the courage. Give us a doctrinal understanding to want to put on that armor and get into battle and witness for your Son, witness for you, for your Word. In a time in the history of our country that it is not wanted, but so needed. Let us be a light. Let us be a light of Jesus Christ. Home, work, social life, church. Let us be a light for Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.